Lord sure has been pouring a blessing out on us today, hasn't he? Yeah, it's a blessing. I tell you what, it's just a blessing to know. You know, if you will tonight, turn to the book of Luke, chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Tonight, I want to read here chapter 15. I want to start reading with verse 11 down through 24. And then I want to go back to chapter 14. And read a verse of scripture there. But here in Luke chapter 15 and verse 11, and he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, forgive me this portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent it all, there arose a mighty famine in the land. And he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a certain. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. And he would fain, having filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perished with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let it and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found. And they begin to be merry. Our Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for today. Father, we thank you for the sweet, sweet spirit we felt here this morning in the services. And Father, we do thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. Father, that we can hide it in our heart. That, Father, where we will not sin against thee. And we will not sin against your Son and against the Holy Spirit. And Father, as we have the Word of God hidden in our hearts, Lord, that we can maintain the things that we must do in our life here on earth, Father. But Father, as we go out and as we go and knock on doors and as we go visit people, Father, we ask, Lord Jesus, that Father, that you may give us the very words that we may say to people. And Father, that they can see something or they can feel something within our own spirit, Lord, that they will come and ask us, just want to ask us, what do we have? And Father, they want what we have. And Lord, that we may be able to take the Word of God and lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, be with us tonight, we pray. Give us that unction from on high, God, that we may deliver the message that you've allowed, Father, for me to be able to stand and read this evening, Father. And Father, we pray, Lord, for every word that is upon thy lips today, that they may drop from your lips to my lips, Father. And Father, that they may come forth to where the people can rejoice and say it's good to be in the house of the Lord. And Father, we thank you for the people that come out tonight. These are some of your choice servants on this side of heaven. I believe that, Father. Father, if I did not believe it, I would not say it. And Father, I know the desires of each one of their hearts. So, Father, we ask in Lord Jesus that you'll grant the desires of all of our hearts tonight. And Father, we ask him for not our will, but Father, for your will to be done. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, we pray. Amen and amen. We see right here, speaking of a father's son. We see, we've just read about a father's son where evidently he had been close to his father, but he'd got to that age. He got to the age where that he thought that he knew more than anyone else at that time. So he decided that he was going to go out and he was going to sow the wild oats. He was going to go out and do his thing because there was something within him that he knew that would bring him back. I believe that. I believe once an individual gets saved, does it make no difference the age? A young person, middle-aged, an elderly person, once he gets saved and born into the family of God, if they've spent any time at all, any first years of their Christianity, that I believe that they've have learned some things from the scripture, and they've learned some things from the fellowship of each other, and they've learned some things from the Lord, and where the Lord blesses them. But still, the world that we're living in today is more prevalent today than where it don't take that much to get an individual out of church. Satan don't have to work all that hard anymore in getting people out of church, because he's having more and more of his angels or his imps and everything out here doing the work that he started out many, many, many years ago. And within that work that he started out, he goes forth today and just challenging his people to go about doing what he even asked Paul to do and told Paul to do when Paul was out persecuting the church. Oh yeah, we're not, the church itself, we're not being persecuted. We don't have people come into the house of God and say, well, you got to quit. You got to quit this and you got to quit that. You got to quit expounding on God's word. You got to quit edifying the Lord. You got to quit lifting the Lord up, and you got to quit teaching the word of God. And if you don't, we're going to burn the church down, or we're going to do this or that. Per se, we don't have that going on today. But we do have things that's going on that is tearing the church up. And it's not the outside people. It's not the lost that's tearing the people up, the churches up. The churches today are being tore up that's within. The people that's within the church, they are the ones going about destroying the work of God, because they think that they can go about doing this and they can do that. And churches today, there's more churches today that is out of the will of God, I believe, because of some things that's happening in the way the church is done got. And first of all, I believe that a church gets away from the will of God is when the pastor ends up leaving the church, and then the church they'll go about and they'll start nominating four or five people to where they can have a meeting once a week or once every 2 weeks. And they call them pulpit committees. It's not here. It's not here. The people in the church, first of all, they need to get on the altar, and they need to pray. They need to pray for them. For the man that God wants them to have, not the man that they want to have. The man that God wants the individual churches to have. And I believe that is what's going on today. And I believe right here in this story, what I just read, that this young man here probably seen some of the same things going on. So he left his father, and he told his father, he said, "Now, Father, I want everything that's coming to me. I want all of my what wealth that I've got coming to me. I want it all." And then he went out and he went into a far country. We can go to the farthest country we want to, and the further we go, it's going to take us a lot longer to come back. But here, this individual, he was trying to come up with excuses Over here in Luke chapter 15, excuse me, chapter 14 of the book of Luke. And it speaks of, right here, the parable of the Great Supper. But I want to read verse 17 and verse 18. Verse 17 says, "And sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one conscience began to make excuses. And they all with one consent, began to make excuses. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must need go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. You know, they all, with one consent, began to make excuses. You know, we can come up with all kinds of excuses in not coming to church. We don't have to look no further than our nose. But you know, even with that, I am so thankful that God Almighty brought me here, that God Almighty sent me here. He didn't send me here because that in who y'all wanted a man of God, and y'all wanted somebody, and I'm praying that I can live up to that standard. But I've come to learn some things. I've learned some things that there's no kind of excuse that you'll come up with to keep you out of the house of God. Now, if you get sick and you're not able to come, that's not an excuse. That's not something that you're trying to make an excuse not to come. Because the thing about it is, yes, you may be at home, but I believe I know my heart well enough to say this. That if you're at home and you cannot come, you're praying for the church. You're praying that what goes on, it goes on because of the Father that is in heaven. Now, like Wednesday night, I really wanted to be here, and I missed it. And I was, the whole time Cheryl was gone and church service was going on, even after that, before it, I was thinking of the church. And I was thinking about each and every one of you. And not only was I praying for you and for the church, but I was also praying for Brother Roy. Now I know that Brother Roy, he has some age on him now, and he forgets a whole lot of things. He's getting to that point. He's almost got to the place that he's almost got dementia. But he still wants to be used by the Lord any way he can. And I, you know, at times, just like Brother Bill said something to me, me and Brother Bill's talked about it for, I don't know, a couple weeks, maybe 2 or 3 weeks, that we need to go out there and see Brother Pelkin. Well, Brother Roy, he loves to go out and visit. He loves to go out and see people. And it does Brother Pelkin good, and it does Brother Roy good, and also does me good when we can get together and go out there. Because just as soon as we go in, we'll speak to Sister Nancy. Me and Brother Roy will. But Brother Pelkin, he's sitting at the table. And he's got his Bible open where he's been reading. And his first thing, and then after we get in there, we didn't talk to Nancy for a few minutes. Brother Pelkin says, "Come on over here and sit down at the table. And we'll start talking about the Lord." I mean, I know of times that we've been out there and we've spent 2 hours talking about the Lord. He loves the Lord. He really does. And I tell you what, last Monday, Monday afternoon, about 1 o'clock when we left, and about 2 o'clock we got out there. But right before we left, we had prayer with them. Tears. And it won't, you just didn't see it, whereas the eyes were just turning a little red. Have you ever seen an individual where the tears would come down, come just running down the cheek on both sides? He had almost got to the place that he was almost sobbing. He was so glad to see somebody. He's so glad to see somebody where they will talk about something that he loves. You know, that right there was a blessing for me. And I told him, Brother, I said, and if last thing he'll say to us is we're going out the door, he said, "Y'all come on back and see us. Anytime you want to, you come on back. When you come, you stay as long as you want to, you just come on back." You know, that right there, you know that there's people out here still love God, this homebound. He will give anything in the world. I honestly believe for him to be able to get up and walk to his automobile, to where he can be able to get in that vehicle and drive that vehicle, I believe he would be willing for the Lord to take and amputate one of his arms. I believe that. That's how much he misses church. And he just don't miss and just being in his services, but he missed the fellowship. And you know, when we miss the fellowship in the house of God, we've missed a whole lot. Now right here, this young man right here, father, son, he missed everything that was going on the farm or the ranch or whatever it was then. Had to be a farm. Because the father says it toward the end, after his son come back, and he told him, he said, "Now, I want you to go pick out, and you kill the biggest and the fattest calf that there is." His brother got jealous. His brother got jealous because of that. But as he left that foreign land, went to that foreign country there, he just wanted to go about sowing his wild oats. Yes, he went into all the honky tonks, and he went into all the movie theaters and all that. I'm just saying that for sake of the day, but he was living it up. He lived it up. He really was. But you know, I'll tell you, but in living it up, he still had it. His soul. He still knew that if he ever had another opportunity to go back home, he would go. And I don't think that he wanted to go at that very moment. He wanted to see the world, how much the world he could see. And that's what people are doing out here today. They want to go out here and they want to try everything the world has to offer. The young people, they're doing the same thing. They're going out here, they're trying what the world has to offer. What's the world offering him? Nothing. The world don't care anything about him. The world don't love him. Satan sure don't love him. The Bible says he's a liar and he's the father of lies. So naturally, if he's the father of lies, anytime he comes on, he says something to you, if he speaks to you, it's a lie. But yet, we'll take his lie and we'll try to put the truth to it. There's no truth in it. But as he was in the world, all his cash, what cash he had, came back. The cash he had, what everything his father gave him, he sold it. And he gave out. Don't last forever. Not what we have down here. It doesn't last forever. But one thing about it, what we do, we must do it the way God wants it, and what we put up, and what we store there in heaven, that's going to be ours. But yours and mine as well, when you get to heaven. Hallelujah. He will say, "Sister Betty, I got some things I need to show you." I mean, when we get to heaven, he's got plans of where we don't see. The Bible here does not contain everything. We're going to see much, much more than what this Bible right here has to offer. I think it's in the very first chapter of the book of Revelation. It speaks about the world. It says the world itself cannot contain the words of God that he's spoken.
the sinful flesh of mine has handled this book. So where flesh and where sin has touched this book, the outside, and even the pages in here, it cannot get it. I don't worry about that thing, the Bible will mean. I don't worry about any of that. Well, you know why? Because I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm sealed. This morning, we must do what we can to get the people into the house of the Lord, and yes, everyone that we bring in, and yes, everyone that will come and get saved. Hey, it doesn't make no difference if Brother Bill brings one in, or Sister Taylor, or whoever brings one in. If they come in and if they get saved, or if we win them outside. Everyone here is going to receive a crown, a reward for that. You would tell you why? Because we have been faithful to it. Because we've come and we've gathered together with unity, with one accord, and seeing the work of God done. If you ever pray for an individual to get saved, and if they get saved in this church, you get just as much of a credit as the one sets up at the end of the Lord. We must do what we can do. And you know how we do it? It's not by W-O-R standard. It's not by words. It's by faith. But we work, why? Because of our faith. Because of our salvation. But this young lady, he went back to his father's house after he'd been laid with the swine and the pigs and the hogs. Some of the earth. I mean, can you imagine being out? Have nowhere to live, nowhere to go, no transportation, no money in your back pocket. And here you are, starving, and you're thirsty. Just to put something in your bed. He got it. Because he ate from where the hogs, the swine ate. And I think when he done that, that's when he realized. You ever heard the old saying? A lot of people say, it's green on the other side. Until you get that, when you get that, it ain't green. They got problems. We all have problems. But he came home. And he was stopped in the road, right there, and he just stopped. And he got to reminisce over his past, what he'd just been through, and then he was reminiscing. started calling the Father. Father, is that you calling? He's going to follow. Father, you calling? Is that you? Is that you? Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you something. And the last time he said, he says, Father, is that you that I hear? His father started out running and said, yes, son. I'm coming, son. I'll be there. I'm coming. His father got to the son before the son could even start even walking or running. The father came and he ran up to his son and fell at his feet. And he kissed his feet. I don't think he just kissed his feet. I think he kissed everything about him because he missed his son. That's the way God is today. He misses his children that don't talk to him. I've heard the small, still voice at times, in times past, that, and I'd be just wanting to just give up and quit. And just been years ago, just want to give up and quit. And I said, Father, I don't know why I'm in it anymore. I don't know why I'm trying, my doing all of the things that I'm doing. I'm trying to do it for thee, but it seems like that nobody cares. So, Father, I think I'm going to just go and hang it up. I'm going to go and I'm going to call my pastor and I'm going to tell him, I'm going to tell him to meet me and everything. I'm going to tell him that I'm going to, and when I meet him, I'm going to carry him my ordination papers. And I'm going to turn my ordination papers back over to him. Because I do not deserve this. I don't deserve any of this. I'm going to just quit. Yes, I'll go back to church then, but I'm going to just go back. I'm going to go back. I'm going to just go back and I'm going to be what they are today. Just a pew warmer. Just a bunch of pew warmers. To come in and say, I just want to go with you. That I won't never be contented with what God has given to do. They don't want to be committed to anything. Because they know if they come in and too many people know that they come in, oh, yeah, preacher, I'm saved. But yet then they come in and I'm saved, and then the next thing you know, they want to come in, they want to join a church and everything. And yeah, they come in and join a church, but then after that, no commitment. That's the reason you don't have people that comes in and joins a local church. Because when it did do, then they know they're going to have to be committed. First of all, they need to make a commitment to God. And anybody that makes a vow to God, does not keep that fire. He's talking about chastisement. He's going to chase them. He's going to chase them to the point that they're going to be miserable. And then he's going to chase them so long, and they're going to be so miserable to the point in their Christian life, and in the sinful life that they're living, that it doesn't make no difference to them any longer, that they're going to come back. They'll come back to it. They have been in a far country too long. Why are they in a far country? We've allowed the far country to come into the church house. We've allowed the far country to come into the house of God. We don't need a far country in the house of God. The only thing, just like I said the other week or two, something like that, that I said, I sure am glad I'm serving Him at a church that believes and trusts in Him, that knows that He don't have to come down Him, and He don't have to stand on the outside of the door and knocking and wanting to come in and have fellowship with us. No, He's not outside knocking. No, He is inside, and He's inside worshiping, and He's fellowshipping with one another. And we need to have the fellowship with Him. And I thank God for the fellowship. I thank God that we can be in the house of God where He can just come down and manifest His own self where we're at. Just come. I just like for God just to come in and just what the world said, just come in and just be a show off. song, and the song that she always loved to sing, would be a song that she would they'd be talking about. She has a roof over her head. She has shoes on her feet. She has clothes on her back. And she would say, thank God for her brother. She had a full eye. One day, God will get a hold of people's hearts. Hallelujah. They ain't going to live. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! You remember that sister, huh? You remember my sister Taylor? Sister Betty? I mean, hey, you knew when that handkerchief come out. You knew when that handkerchief was coming out that somebody was about ready to stand up and praise the Lord. I mean, hey, they ain't done away with the handkerchief, the scarves, have they?
You don't see as many handkerchiefs anymore.
You don't see that anymore. You don't see that anymore in the churches. Only thing you hear today in the churches. That's a good song.
Yeah.
I know that sometimes that may be appropriate in what may be going on. But I think as far as in the preaching service, or I think as long as you have him singing in a church service where preaching is going on, I don't believe it should be clapping. Because when you clap, that's what you do. That's entertainment. Like you said, that's entertainment. Plus, too, think about it. What you're doing, you're giving man praise. Man don't need praise. He needs all the praise and all his love. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, Father, for this evening. And Father, we thank you, Father, for the Word of God. And Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that when you touched my heart, you touched my soul. And Father, that you saved me, Father, and you put my name there in the Lamb's Book of Life. And Lord Jesus, we just ask, Father, tonight, God, that you would just touch the people's hearts. They've already been touched. I know mine has been touched from heaven. And Father, when it's been touched from heaven, you really know that you need to kind of wrap things up, but Father, you just get to the point that you just don't want to just quit, Father. You need to keep on going because this is what it's going to be like in heaven. Father, it's no more. We set on a timetable there in heaven, and we should not be set on a timetable here. And Lord Jesus, we know, God, that